This is it. The legendary live band, Phish, returns to the road this summer. Phish. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, Ruoff Music Center. On sale now at LiveNation.com. Part of the Coors Light Concert Series.
The dawn of a new season of Futurama is coming to Hulu July 29th.
That's great.
But I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
July 29th, streaming only on Hulu.
School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. Shop the hottest styles from the best brands like Nike, Jordan, FP Movement, Adidas, and Stanley. Stop by your local store or visit Dick's.com for fast shipping. Now you're ready to win your year.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our paper 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to the First Team. I'm Joe DeLeone, and with me is my co-host, Ryan Roberts. Today, we're going to be sharing our running back rankings for the 2025 NFL Draft for Summer Scouting. Ryan's a true sicko. He watched 22, almost 23 running backs to prepare for this show. I will say, though, to ignore how much extra time that you put into this, this class is I'm so distracted. This cat, what are you doing? I don't own a cat, Ryan. What are you doing?
Is that your parents' house? Are you at your parents' house right now?
I'm not going to get into the details of it, but yeah, this cat was on the window. I was trying so hard to ignore that. That cat was fully splayed and like stretched out on top of this sliding door right here. I am so sorry.
I did listen to your episode with Sean where you were yelling about animals or something like that.
There's a different cat. There's three cats that come and interact with this house. To get back to the point, this running back class is really talented. I think that there are two guys at the top that are going to go pretty early, much earlier than the guys that we had last class. And there's just a ton that are going to be scattered across day two and day three.
Yeah, it's incredibly deep. I don't know if it's going to be, I mean, it's not going to be to the level that McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette class was, no. Right? Because you had multiple first rounders. You had several first rounders in that class. And it was just there was even guys like Royce Freeman in that class. That was a guy that had a lot of pub, like Samaje Perine. Like, that was a deep, deep, deep class. This one, I actually think, like, depth-wise, when we're talking about round 2 to 7, this might end up being deeper than that class. Now, but I think that the top that year was just, like, astronomical. Like, you had two running backs go in the top 10, and for good reason. Like, it wasn't like, oh, my God, why are you doing that stupid thing? That was a legitimate thing that year. So, but I think if you're talking running back second round to sixth, seventh round in the 2025 NFL draft, this class is about as deep. I mean, Joe, this is no exaggeration. You know, I'm a pretty hard grader, dude. Like, I'm not an easy grader. I'm really not. I have, of the 22 running backs I watched, 21 draftable grades. To put that in the perspective of how deep this class is.
Well, we did the research because you and I got into an argument that 19 were drafted last year, and it begs the question, if you watched 30, I wonder how many draftable grades we would have ended up with. But the bigger thing with this class is I think that there's a number of guys that I think could be premier backs. There's a number of guys that have upside to be premier backs. And then there's a lot of players who I think are just the ultimate goal for what teams are looking for in secondary rushers, for secondary options, for rotational guys that the NFL has been progressively moving towards more and more. I'm going to start us off, as we always do on the show, 10 through 6, and then we go deep on 5 through 1. My number 10, Nick Singleton from Penn State. For just some context so people understand where the grading starts for these running backs, I give him a late 4th. Jaden Ott is number 9 for me. Taj Brooks is number 8. I really like Taj Brooks. I know that you and I are going to disagree on that one. Donovan Edwards is number 7. And then number six is Devin Neal from Kansas.
I like Devin Neal. We'll talk about him in a minute. Two guys that popped out initially. I'll go a little bit deeper into Jay Knott later as far as what I like about him, but you seem a little bit lower than maybe what the consensus might be on Jay Knott, the running back from Cal. We'd just love to hear your perspective on him.
It's not that I'm particularly low on him. I thought that he was a very good player.
Fourth, a third? What did you have on him?
I had an early fourth on him. But is that really that? This is where we always come back to. Yeah. Is that I always say this to you, and then your response is that negative?
Negative isn't the right word. I think there's a difference of opinion here because I will just say, because I don't want to spoil this, but I have Jay Knott quite a bit higher than you.
I'll save my take before I share on him. I thought that the guys I had at 5 through 1, and there's going to be one that pisses you off, but the guys I had at 5 through 1, I think were a little bit more well-rounded.
Okay.
God, I know that we're going to get into it on one of these guys because I know the point that you're gonna make on, well, if Jay Knott has the long speed and the burst and the acceleration, then why the heck would you have this guy so much higher above him? But any other takeaways or qualms with the list that I have here?
Nick Singleton was in the group right below my top 10, so he did not make the top 10 for me. Joe, I'm so conflicted with Nick Singleton. He looks the part, man. I mean, he is 6 foot, probably a legit 210 to 215. He's explosive when he hits the open, when he works at the second, third level. I mean, that guy has home run speed. It all looks good. I just functionally, I almost didn't grade him. I know we were texting about this earlier, but like I almost didn't grade him just because I felt like the system didn't do him any benefits, but also I don't know if he did himself any benefit either. Like it was a frustrating watch. He may have been him or Donovan Edwards may have been the most frustrating watches that I've had over the last few days. They are great athletes. They are not great football players right now.
There's a lot of similarities I think to be had between the two of them. And I just decided, hey, I need to go with the upside here, the traits. It's a position where at the end of the day, the NFL is going to draft based on traits, and then there's a chance that success could be had for both of these players based on the athleticism that they have. And Nick Singleton, powerful kid, very explosive, good long speed. But as we're talking about here, and it's the same exact problem with Donovan Edwards, where not very good at sniffing out. I'm pausing myself. I almost said something that would have been clipped.
He struggles to hit holes, huh? Struggles to hit gaps.
Well, I was going
to
say he has trouble sniffing out holes, but there I ended up saying it.
That's great.
He has trouble finding appropriate rushing lanes, and I think Nick Singleton, much worse than Donovan Edwards, where, and I texted you this, he will run into the backs of his linemen if he doesn't see a massive rushing lane. He'll just run into the muck and just say, all right, I'm going to power my way through this and see if I can create something that way. And he's explosive enough and shifty enough to create for himself if there are small rushing lanes, kind of like Donovan Edwards is capable of doing. But that's kind of where I stood on him. Who is your 10 through 6?
I mean, my last note would just be chaotic is the word that extremely I have next chaotic to both of their reports right now. So I'm very interested to see the jump they take, especially with Singleton and Koltunecki now being the offensive coordinator. Yeah. I think that may be a merit.
I mean, he could be Devin Neal for them this year. And was it Hyshaw, the other
who's that
Kansas running back?
Oh, Henshaw, right? Henshaw?
Henshaw, like that. Yeah, and Catron Allen can be that. You know, it's interesting the parallels of that running back room. All right, you're 10 through 6.
Number 10 for me, a guy that I know we differ on a little bit, but I have Quinshon Judkins at number 10, running back from Ohio State, Ole Miss transfer. We'll talk about him, I'm sure, in this episode a lot. Surprise one, Joe. I guarantee you didn't even watch this player. Number 9, DJ Giddens from Kansas State.
I did it, and now I'm kicking myself for not, because I remember I made it a mental note to watch him, and I did it. I'm glad that you put him in here.
I hope when I'm finished, you ask me about him. I hope that is a request end, because I really enjoyed him a lot. Omarion Hampton from North Carolina at number 8 for me. Number 7, I had Trevor Etienne from Georgia, the Florida transfer. And number 6, I had Devin Neal from Kansas.
Okay. The Giddens, you obviously wanted me to ask you about him. what drew your attention? And by the way, him and Dylan Edwards, I think, are going to be really fun this year. But what caught your attention with him?
So I was watching last year. I remember Cooper Beebe. I was watching, right, for my final eval. And I just kept writing number 31 down because I didn't know who he was, because the year before that, he was just a backup to Deuce Vaughn. But then you look at him, and he is a polar opposite of Deuce Vaughn. I mean, DJ Giddens is listed at 6'1", 212 pounds. I think he had a decent NFS or Blesto grade. I can't remember 100%, but I think he was on that list. But, Joe, here's the claim right on DJ Giddens. He's a little high cut. He's a little bit of a long strider. Second, like, his first and second gear are good. I don't know if he necessarily has a top-end third gear. Like, I don't think he's going to hit, like, a ton of home runs. But there is no running back in this class that is better at making second level defenders miss than DJ Giddens, man. Like when he is squared up in a hole and there is tight space, he makes some linebackers, safeties filling, look absolutely silly in really tight quarters, man. And you know how much I am a big proponent of second effort runs and hidden yardage. And this kid for me is one of those dudes that it looks like he has five and he gets eight. It looks like he has three and he gets six. Like, he just creates a lot of extra level runs because he has one of the best dead legs that you'll find in this class. He's really flexible, changes direction really nice in short areas. I really like him. And he's a pretty dang good receiver as well, man. He's comfortable. I think he had like 29 receptions, over 300 yards. I think there's a lot to like about a DJ Giddens. So I gave a mid-third round grade too.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. Bet online, where the game starts.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The dawn of a new season of Futurama is coming to Hulu July 29th.
That's great.
But I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's the best damn show I ever saw.
July 29th, streaming only on Hulu.
School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. Shop the hottest styles from the best brands like Nike, Jordan, FP Movement, Adidas, and Stanley. Stop by your local store or visit dicks.com for fast shipping. Now you're ready to win your year.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a savory sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and crispy hash browns. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, let's jump into doing these top fives. I have a feeling that we're going to have four of the same guys, and then there's going to be the swap with the two obvious glaring mix up. As if anyone here is able to figure it out, I'm curious. Drop in the comments right now. Let's see if you can figure out who the two guys that Ryan and I have swapped at the fourth running back spot. That's going to be my guess where it is. Okay. Kamanungai is number five for me, the running back out of Rutgers. 5'9", listed around 210. Dude, I really liked watching him. He has fantastic patience and vision, and maybe arguably the best out of any of these running backs in this class. He is not as athletic as a Damian Martinez or an Ashton Jeanty or an Ollie Gordon, but his patience makes up for any deficiencies he might have. What I love about him the most is that not only is he great at figuring out where that lane is, he also then is shifty enough, quick-footed enough, while having a pretty dense frame to make guys miss in the hole. I think that this is a player who in the NFL maybe doesn't start out as a primary back and goes somewhere late on day two and could eventually evolve into being a team's primary running back. I'm going to say he kind of gives me, and maybe this isn't a great comp, I know that you always hate my comps, kind of gives me some Kyron Williams vibes because he busts his ass as a blocker. I shared a clip of him completely blasting a safety or a linebacker, I forget who it was, while he was blocking for his quarterback on a quarterback rushing play. So Manungai checks every box. He is an all vibes type of play here at the running back position, and he lands at my number five spot.
Yeah, I like Kyle Manungai. I actually thought I was going to be higher on him than just about anybody, but then I met you, obviously, right? So Manungai,
he wasn't in your top five.
He wasn't in my top five. He actually didn't even make my top 10.
So we only have three similarities.
Yeah, he didn't even make my top 10. He was number 11 for me, Joe. But I like him a ton. I have a fourth round grade on him. I like Manungai. Yeah.
Oh, screw you. Dude, the disrespect.
A fourth round grade, man. A fourth round grade is good. You're acting like I'm saying this dude's undraftable. Like, this kid is
You just did that to me with Jay Knopp.
I think he is a nice secondary back in a committee approach. I agree. I think his short area is good. I think he's a really tough runner with a good low center of gravity. I don't think he has much juice. I don't think he has a second gear. I don't think he can really stride it out. But he is a guy that I think will find a role, and specifically because he's going to find that hidden yardage I talked about earlier, and he's a heck of a pass blocker, one of the best pass blockers in this class. So I like Kyle Manungai a lot. I just think there's some limitations athletically. Good player, though, and I guarantee he finds a stable opportunity in a committee approach on the next level. Guarantee it.
Don't doubt Rutgers running backs. What's your number five guy that you got?
Number five for me is Travion Henderson from Ohio State.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was my number 11.
That's the guy that we're a little mixed up on. Okay, so Travion.
No, there's another. There are two more guys that we're going to be very mixed up on. I was wrong. Oh, no. My prediction was very wrong. Go ahead.
Okay, Travion Henderson. Everybody knows him at this point. Listed 5'10", 214 pounds. Former 5-star recruit. Really burst on the scene for Ohio State 3 years ago now, and was a dynamic freshman. Thought he was going to enter the 2024 NFL draft. He opts to go back to school. Nice NIL package that was a part of it. Awesome. Good for him. Joe, I understand the holding points to Travion Henderson, which is why I only have a third round grade on him. This is not like a second, early second, first round guy. Like, this is not what this is. But this kid has a unique skill set that I just don't think a lot of these running backs in this class have. He has not only a legit second gear, I think he's got a great third gear. When he gets that open spot, he is an ideal outside zone runner. Get your foot in the ground and get vertical in a hurry, because he is probably one of the top 1 to 2 backs in this class. If you take an improper angle at any point, he can house call it. I really think that he is a guy that can create explosive runs into home runs. He can turn small runs into explosive runs. He is a home run guy, so he's going to be a little bit feast or famine. He's not going to be a guy like Kyle Manungai we just talked about, where he's going to churn out hidden yardage. He's going to make second effort runs. He is not the tackle breaker that some of these guys are in this class, but his home run ability, his explosiveness, that's a unique skill set in this class, in my opinion.
That's why I didn't love him. The home run ability definitely flashed, and there were a number of times where small gap, he turns into a long touchdown. The thing where I had pause, and I have a similar grade to what you had on Manungai. I've got a fourth on him. It's not that I'm low on him. He didn't show any ability to break through contact and to power through tackles. His play strength, I thought, was below average for me. It was enough to the point where in the NFL, I really think his role is only going to be as a secondary guy and is only going to be productive in splash play scenarios where he gets the ball in space and he's able to turn a screen pass into 60 yards, or he takes an outside zone play and has a 25 yard rushing gain. But there's going to be somebody ahead of him who has to be the churn you out, get the hidden yards type of a player. It's not that I don't like Travion Henderson. I just don't know if he'll ever be capable of being a 20 plus carry back. And everybody outside of my top 10, I just was trying to keep that in mind, guys that I thought that were a little bit more role specific and probably wouldn't be deployable in multiple situations Yeah. Who had, actually, I'll go number. Well, do you have any counter?
Oh, no, no counter. I was just going to say, with the grade that I have, just to put context to it, it's that he is a strong, a plus-plus backup, right? And when we're talking about a running back room, we're talking about a guy that's going to get a lot of carries to a eventual developmental starter is kind of where I'm at with a Travion Henderson. So, yes, I don't think that he's a guy that you throw in day one. He's the lead ball carrier. He's carrying it 20 times a game. He's getting 3 to 4 more receptions. Like, that's not his game. But I do think in a approach of a committee, I do think that he brings that home run ability. That's big time.
My number four guy that I've gotten, this is where I'm going to piss you off, and we're going to go off the rails. Quinshon Judkins is number four for me. 6'2", 215. Look, the reason why I like Quinshon Judkins, and I think that maybe you're not the biggest fan. Yes, he does not have that second true gear like all of these other guys that we're talking about do. And I understand that it takes a bit for these physical, compact rushers like Quinshon Judkins to succeed in the NFL because they need the right situation, the right commitment from the right coach. But I do think that the way that he powers through tacklers, the way he fights through contact, how hard he runs, the body control, all of that bundled up, supported by his body control, is why I like Quinshon Judkins. I don't think that this is a primary lead back, but I do think that if somebody like Gus Edwards in the NFL can get as many goal line touches as he did, or Jamal Williams can get as many goal line touches as he did, I think Judkins can provide more value than that and can be a really good second back in the NFL for a team that maybe has somebody who is a little bit more long speed and kill you in space, and he would be that change of pace, bring you in on third down, bring you in on short yardage to pick up the dirty yards.
Jamal Williams is actually an interesting comp, Joe. I might steal that. That's actually pretty interesting.
Are they both 6'2", 215?
Somewhere in that ballpark. Jamal was about, I mean, he was a big, pretty big dude coming out of BYU. He wasn't small at all. So, yeah. I actually think that Judkins weighed in at like 219 this spring. So he's more in the 220-ish range at this point too. So, yeah.
Before you give the counterpoint, his combine numbers, Jamal Williams, if it would load. Yeah, 6'2", 212.
Yep.
And he ran a 4.59. So it's not a bad 40. He's just not like crazy.
He's a short area explosive guy. He's not a long speed guy. It's actually not a bad comp. It's really not. And so
I'm cooking today.
I'll relax. This is a transparency conversation. When I first texted you about Quinshon Judkins about 2-3 weeks ago, I was not in on him at all. Okay. Not in on him at all. I went back because, believe it or not, Joe, I do respect your opinion at times. You know, once in a blue moon, I respect it.
Really?
So, yeah, man. So I went back and
the
I watched.
The way that you text me, I would say otherwise. If I showed the public the way that you text me.
How do I text
they
you?
They would think I'm in an abusive relationship. Let's just leave it at that.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. I went back and I watched a couple more games, and his grade did rise for me. I ended up with a late third round grade on him, right? I'm still not in. I see RB1 conversations out there. I've seen people just go completely bananas for Quinshon, and Quinshon actually has a very high spring grade. I think he had like a second round grade by Blessed or NFS. I'm just not there, man, because I agree with most of what you're saying as far as the dude is explosive in short areas. The dude is physical, and he's a tackle breaker. He is one of the best tackle breakers in this class, maybe the best in this class. I just don't see home run speed. One, not a big deal though, because running backs don't necessarily need home run speed depending on your style. But then the other thing that gives me pause is when you're an inside oriented runner, I need to see good vision. And I think his vision is spotty is the best way to put it. It's not awful all the time, but there is a lot to be desired in my opinion in that spot. So that's the thing to hold me back.
That's where you and I come into agreement on him, I think, because there is a camp, and I think that this camp is quieted because it was very early on in like May when people were just kind of throwing comments and grades out because everyone wanted to be free. It was literally the week after the draft, a couple weeks after the draft, when everybody was like, oh, I have a take on this guy. I have a take on this guy. And they clearly didn't really watch some of these players. Some folks were grading and saying that Quinshon Judkins was RB1.
Right.
And we both agree here for these reasons. There's these other guys who are way more well-rounded that we're going to get to in a second. And speaking of which, who's your number four? Is it Jay Knott?
It is not Jaden Knott. Number four for me is Ollie Gordon II out of Oklahoma State. Joseph, listed 6'1", 6'2", 215, 220 pounds at this point. He is a high cut runner. I think short area stuff is pretty good for his size. I think that he is a creative runner as well. I think that he has power profile to him also. I like Ollie Gordon. I am missing, though, an elite trait from Ollie Gordon. I think there's a lot of good. I just don't necessarily see elites with Ollie. Yeah. Don't
RB1 Ollie Gordon.
Oh, here we go.
The disrespect that you're giving to him.
Here we go. Dude, he's top five. He's number four. I know. Relax.
Before I get my take.
Yes.
Obviously, the off-the-field stuff does not come into play here. He was arrested for suspicion of a DUI. That is an unfolding situation.
Did you hear Mike Gundy's comments?
That is insane to say that publicly.
As a coach, like, well, okay.
Right. We're not. That's not what the show is, so we're not going to talk about it. We're just talking about the player. Ollie Gordon is still going to get drafted very highly, likely, because there's still a path for redemption here for what he did. And we've seen other, like Michael Floyd's a good example. Michael Floyd got a DUI and he still got drafted in the top 10. But to talk about Ollie Gordon as the player, I get what you're saying, that if you just look at him in a vacuum, like what is that one elite trait?
Yeah.
My pushback to that is for his build and his frame and his size, as we talked about in the scouting report episode, he himself is a rarity. He is something that you do not find when we build running back prospects and we project them. All these other guys are prototypes.
Are you talking about change of direction? What are you saying is a rare part?
I'm saying, and as I said in the scouting report episode that we did, he moves like he is a 5'9", 195 pound running back. The change of direction, the flexibility, more importantly, because there's guys that have good change of direction, but don't have the same level of flexibility to contort their body the way that Ollie Gordon can. I think he checks every box of good enough long speed, probably going to run in the, probably like a 4.5. He's going to have some really good explosive numbers for me, for his size. And I think at the end of the day, for him to have that body control, the capability to pound between the tackles because he has the frame to do so. But more importantly, guys of his size are not supposed to be as big of threats in space as he is. He creates space for himself and he kills you once he creates that space. I just am so enamored with watching this kid. I really think that he could really be truly special. Kind of like what we did with Derrick Henry, where we saw him and a lot of people said this is second round back. Some of the other guys ahead of him might be a little bit better, but he deserved the Heisman Trophy. And then boom, he goes in the NFL and then we are actualizing the rarity of the athlete that he is.
But Derrick Henry was a really rare athlete, though. Like, that is the rarest of the rare. I mean, Joe, he ran like 4.53 at 247 pounds, Derrick Henry. Like, he was a freak show. I think Ollie is a very good athlete for his size. I would argue, though, and we'll get to this a little deeper in this conversation, I think that there's another big back that has rarer skill set of short area quickness than him. That's where I'm at.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
I think everybody does if you follow any NFL draft talk. So, yeah.
So we both gave her number four. My number three, who I think is your number one, is Damian Martinez from Oregon State heading to Miami. Okay, so, all right, but I'm getting too caught up with trying to guess who you have where. The future Miami running back, I very succinctly tweeted today a cut-up of his clips, and I said, this man is going to put up some ridiculous stats at Miami because they've got a really good offensive line, and it is a stacked offense. There's not going to be as much pressure on him as there was at Oregon State. For as massive as this dude is, I think he was, 5'11", 5'10", 240 pounds. He is a round-ass dude, and he runs. Not only does he run hard, but he picks up speed in a hurry. And the thing I love the most, the creativeness. When we talk about vision, kind of vague, he's one of those guys that fits that rare category of creativity. There was one play that I had shared where he was on the goal line. He rushes to one side of the line of scrimmage, realizes that not only is that path blocked, but it is extremely blocked. And has the capability and the awareness to realize the other side is completely wide open, turns course, barely loses any speed, basically does a 360 or a 180 and goes and scores a touchdown. So the creativity mixed with all these traits, he is He is a really, really tough dude to tackle.
He's number two for me, Damian Martinez, okay. The former Oregon State transfer. Like you said, 5'11", 7'8", 241 pounds this spring. But Wonjo, I thought he was taller than he actually is. I thought he was going to be like
6'1".
Yeah, like 6'1 and a half, 6'1", somewhere in that ballpark. But this young man, again, I think that the biggest thing for me is that you get preconceived notions about a player. I look at that body type. I look at that style, and I say he's probably a gap power system runner that's going to go downhill and just be a force of nature between the tackles. But then you see him run zone, inside zone especially, and you're like, one, tremendous feats. Like for 240 pounds, this kid changes direction and stops on a dime, stop start, incredible in space. But then the patience he runs with, there is, and it's not a perfect comp because the body types are a little bit different, but there is some Le'Veon Bell here. There is. Remember Le'Veon, for as big as he was, he had that patience and that second level nuance to him that was just so different and so special. I think Martinez has a lot of that, man. He is a heavy inside zone runner that can make second level defenders miss, can manipulate space. I really, really like Damian Martinez. The only thing I want to see is, I know he can block. I know he's a great runner. Well, how big of an asset can he be at catching the football? Because that's one thing I just haven't seen a lot of at this point. But he definitely has the feel and space that I kind of say there's potential there. I just haven't seen it up until this point.
That's what happens when you've got DJU trying to throw you the football. There's not going to be a lot of opportunities.
Well, it was worse than that before that, man. What was his, Bertie Gustafson or whatever the heck his name was the year before?
Oh, like, God, I forget. Yeah, I forget who... Whatever his name was, your number three.
Jaden Ott, Cal. 5'11", 5'10", 205 pounds. This kid is lightning in a bottle, dude. One false step, one bad angle. This is a explosive play or a house call. I think he's got good vision as well. I think he knows how to manipulate defenders a lot. I've talked about this a lot, Joe. The running back evaluation process for me personally has evolved tremendously over the last few years. Tremendously. I think that we are starting to get to the point where you need to value feel and space, ability to make second level runs into home runs a whole lot more. And that's what Jay Knott is, man. Despite playing on a not very talented Cal team offensively, defensively, Justin Wilcox, they can get some stuff done on that side of the football. Mm-hmm. But offensively, there's no NFL offensive lineman there, okay? They had some redshirt freshman quarterback, Mendoza, who's like just not very good, right? They had one okay wide receiver that transferred up to Washington. But other than that, their offense was a mess. And despite that, Jaden Ott just makes plays, man. Passing game, running the football. This kid's a big play waiting to happen. I'm a big fan of Jaden Ott.
Here's my only thing with him, and it's very similar to what we talked about here with Travion Henderson. For a guy to be... maybe in a different class, he would be a lot higher. I think that there's a lot of well-balanced guys that are going to be more heavily utilized in the NFL. I think that Ott is, again, a really good home run threat secondary option. But one, not a player who really breaks a lot of tackles because he lacks play strength. But two, I don't think his vision was great. It was bad, but I thought that there were a lot of times on film he falls victim to the typical, I'm the fastest guy in the field, I'm going to run east-west until somebody can't catch up to me. And there's a lot of times where he gets strung out, and he gets strung out to the sideline. I would like to see some improvements there. Great player. I think that he is going to be a phenomenal pro, but I just don't totally know if he... Okay, to your point, he's one of the higher upside guys, I think, in my top 10, that if he added a little bit more power to his lower half, he broke some more tackles, and his vision improved a little bit, I'd be in the same boat with you. I think he would be in my top five.
Well, he's up to 204 pounds this offseason, sir. So we are rocking and rolling.
What was he last season?
He was in the 190s last year at best. So he's up into the 200s now, which I think is obviously a big threshold. But hey, man, I just think that in the right system, again, an outside zone oriented system, this kid is home run waiting to happen. I'll bet on it.
So you gave
three and two, yeah.
Okay, so we both have to give, I have to give my two and you have to give your one, which is
reversed.
Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
We did Ashton Jeanty, the scouting report episode, so our thoughts are kind of already out there. The plain and simple description for this kid from Boise State is he is compact and he is hard to rally. He's Mighty Mouse out there with how he's able to make guys miss. It almost feels like you're watching adults chase after a child because he's so quick and he's so hard to keep up with. I'm not calling Ashton Jeanty a child, but he is compact, and the compactness makes him difficult to tackle. The long speed, the acceleration, all of those things make him not only a home run threat, but also someone who can power through tackles to be a threat between the tackles and then to create at that second level. This is one of the most well-rounded players in the class, and then I think maybe one of the more well-rounded running backs that we've had come out in a long time.
I love Ashton Jeanty, man. Joe, I remember we were texting about him like, what, a week or week and a half ago? Because I started going down a rabbit hole of interviews and trying to get as much information as possible. Army brats, right? Spent some time in Italy, was born in Jacksonville, lived in Virginia, and then settled into Texas, obviously. And the cool little tidbit on him was he was not the starting running back at Lone Star until his final year of high school. He was a all-conference wide receiver, leading receiver on the team as a junior because they had a senior running back. He goes the next year. What's he do? 1,800-plus yards as a senior, 10-plus yards per carry, ends up at Boise State, 5'8" and an eighth, I think is what he registered in there, 5'8" and a quarter, 217 pounds this spring as well. This kid is low and compact. Second effort runs are fantastic. Great center of gravity, breaks tackles in space. But he is another kid that I think the short area is awesome. I think he's got a great feel, and he catches the football better than anybody in this class. This is the all-around back in this class. A guy that I could say, if there is a three-down back, a guy that is going to be the lead ball carrier, handle 18-plus carries a game, 5 receptions a game, that's Ashton Jeanty, in my opinion, man. The well-roundedness is what makes him RB1 in my books.
Yeah, if I didn't have such a big crush on Ollie Gordon, I think that it'd be no. They have a. I think that. Wait, let me double. I just closed my tab on grades. I gave almost an identical grade. I gave Ollie Gordon an early second, and I gave Ashton Jeanty a hair behind him, also an early second. Is that what you had for Jeanty?
I had an early set. So on the 9-point scale, I had a 7.8 on Ashton Jeanty, which is, again, not as high as you can get.
And a 7.9 on Ollie Gordon.
Oh, man. Imagine being that high on Ollie. Couldn't be me. Just could not be me.
Well, it couldn't be me doubting him and Kyle Manunga. At Joe DeLeon, at Rise and Draft, hit the subscribe button. Folks, let us know in the comments, who did we miss? Tell us our list sucks. Because honestly, it probably does. We'll talk to you later. Enjoy the rest of your week.
School is back, and Dick's Sporting Goods has what you need to win your year. Shop the hottest styles from the best brands like Nike, Jordan, FP Movement, Adidas, and Stanley. Stop by your local store or visit Dick's.com for fast shipping. Now you're ready to win your year.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at DiscountTire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Get the best deal on tickets at visitkingsisland.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a savory sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and crispy hash browns. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.